We are waiting for the lovely Sarah to appear. So while I'm waiting, let me remind you what we're doing. Hebrews chapter 12, verse 1, is a verse that is looking back to what the writer recorded for us in chapter 11. And the writer says, I keep saying the writer because we're not sure who wrote the book of Hebrews. A lot of the letters in the New Testament are identified by Paul or by Timothy, by Paul, by Peter, by James, by John, but we're not sure who wrote the letter to the Hebrews. But he says, or she, therefore, since we are surrounded by such a great cloud of witnesses, let us throw off everything that hinders and the sin that so easily entangles. And let us run with perseverance the race marked out for us, fixing our eyes on Jesus, the pioneer and perfecter of our faith. This is a sports metaphor used here. And some of you might have watched some of the Olympics these past few days. This reminds me of a pet peeve I have every 4 years for the Winter Olympics. Pet peeve. My wife and I argue about this every 4 years. Figure skating is not a sport. Now, don't get me wrong. These athletes, supposed athletes, these dancers have great skill, great coordination, amazing things they do on the ice. But to me, it's dancing on ice. You know, that's like having ballet in the Olympics. It's not a, yes, it's difficult. Yes, it's not a sport. So last night, I tuned out when the figure skating came on. But then there's the speed skating. Now that's a sport. Then I was watching this snowboarding last night. Now that's a sport. But it's not a sport. The writer of Hebrews is talking about a sport. He's talking about a race. He's talking about the race of life that we run. It's a race run by faith. And like any runner or speed skater, you need to lay aside everything that would trip you up. And you need to keep your eyes on the goal. You need to keep your eyes on the pioneer, the perfecter of our faith, that is Jesus. And just like in South Korea, there's this stadium of people watching and cheering. And that's this great cloud of witnesses that the writer of Hebrews refers to in chapter 12, verse 1. And we've been looking at this cloud of witnesses, the men, and today women, of faith that have gone on before us, that are in that crowd cheering us on as we've run the race of faith. Men and a few women we'll meet, starting today, we hope, who have run that race of faith, who have completed that race of faith, people that have gone on before us and right now are cheering us on. And we hopefully come to that next person today. In Hebrews chapter 11, starting with verse 11, we read this. By faith, Sarah herself received power to conceive, even when she was past the age, since she considered him, that's God, faithful, who had promised. Therefore, one man, we met him last week, Abraham, and him as good as dead, were born descendants, as many as the stars of heaven, and as many as the innumerable grains of sand by the seashore. The lovely Sarah, we've been waiting long enough. Come and tell us your story. Fooled you, didn't I? And she is the lovely Sarah, isn't she?
Lovely Sarah. With not so pretty face, I heard before, but the beautiful legs, which is why I wore long dress today, so you could not see those. Anyway, last week you heard from my husband, Abraham. I know he told you I'd be sharing with you today. It's truly an honor to be with you. I am Sarah. I am the first woman cited as a member of the great cloud of witnesses. It wasn't easy for me in the time that I lived. A woman who couldn't bear children with her husband was looked down on during my time. If we couldn't give our husband an heir, especially a male heir, we were often ridiculed. But there were other circumstances in my life at the same time. They were very challenging as well. I believe my husband shared with you that he came in one day and announced that God had told him to move. Now, I had never heard God's voice before. I was very comfortable in our lovely home in Ur, and then again in Haran. I loved to decorate. I mean, it was just so comfortable and so cozy. I did not want to move. But my husband met God, and later, so did I. So, I spent the rest of my life in a tent. Oy vey, in a tent. Can you imagine? I'll try not to repeat everything that Abraham told you. I guess the promise that God made to Abraham that affected me was God's promise that he would make Abraham's descendants as numerous as the stars of the sky. Well, at first, this promise was unbelievable. So we tried to help God out. So I told Abraham, I know he was Abram then. Sometimes I called him Abe, whatever. You know who I mean. I told Abraham that since God prevented me from having children, he should go to my slave, Hagar, and have a son. I'm not proud of this. At that point, not only had I doubted God, but I caused pain to Hagar and the son she would eventually bear, Ishmael. I was a wreck. I registered my decision. I regretted my decision so much to encourage Abraham to have a child with another woman. I later learned this was not God's plan. She taunted me. She thought she was better than I was because she was giving birth to a child by my husband. But I was not blameless in this, not at all. After all, was my idea. But I sent her away. Can you imagine? I sent a pregnant woman away to be alone in the desert. Well, fortunately, God took care of her and her son that she named Ishmael. But I eventually learned to trust God myself. And he had promised that I would be the one who would give birth to this son of the promise. Now, on top of that, I would be known as the mother of nations and kings. Now, you might think this was good news, honey. But I was 90 years old. I mean, you know, the idea of crying babies and disposable diapers, that might have been acceptable a few decades or many decades earlier, but not now. One day, my husband received three visitors to our camp. It was unusual to have visitors in the desert, especially at the hottest part of the day. I believe they were heavenly visitors. Abraham came to me and said, Sarah, we've got guests, and I invited them to dinner. All right, ladies, now you understand, don't you? I'm sure that many of you have had husbands that have done this in the past, and some of us more than once. So they pulled it off on you too. Well, so I went, I made the bread, and my servant prepared the steaks. I was listening in the tent when one of the visitors said, where's your wife? She's in the tent, Abraham said. This time next year, Abraham, the heavenly guest said, Sarah will give you a son. Do you want to know what my reaction was? I mean, I laughed. Wouldn't you? I mean, I was hysterical. I wasn't the only one. Abraham laughed, too. That's why we named our first son Isaac. It means laughter. Well, this guest knew I was laughing in the tent. He knew I couldn't believe it. But, oh boy, he actually rebuked me for laughing. Then I realized who the special guest was. It was God himself, I bet. He said, "Is there anything too hard for the Lord?" It was then that I realized this man was the Lord God himself, accompanied by two angels. My doubt turned into faith. It's hard to doubt the power of God when you have morning sickness, crave pickles and ice cream, of course, and you're just becoming huge. I mean, that kind of confirmed it in my mind. But my husband was 100 years old. I was 90 years old. I mean, really, what the Lord told us that day was true. There is nothing too hard for the Lord. I am in the great cloud of witnesses, not because of my behavior. I made plenty of mistakes, but I learned to trust God on my journey. God used me to give birth to a son, the son of promise, Isaac. My descendants, just as the Lord promised, were as numerous as all the stars in the sky and the grains of sand on the beach. I'm in the great cloud of witnesses because I learned to trust in God, even when it didn't make any sense. I'm cheering you on and encouraging you today, like all of us in the great cloud of witnesses, to trust God completely. Sometimes it won't make any sense. Take it from me, a 90-year-old woman who gave birth. I mean, yay. Don't try and help God out like I did. Nothing is too difficult for him. Remember, keep trusting him and rejoice in the gift of grace. For so many years, I wanted to have a child. I never thought it would be possible. But I rejoiced in the gift of God's grace. Let me read for you what Moses wrote. "Now the Lord was gracious to Sarah, as he had said, and the Lord did for Sarah what he had promised. Sarah became pregnant and bore a son to Abraham in his old age," and hers too, I might add, "at the very time God had promised him. As you run your race, God will enable you to trust him completely, even when it doesn't make any sense at all. Let God act according to his sovereign will, and you will rejoice in the gift of his grace." Thank you.
Well, thank you to the lovely Sarah. Much more lovely than you anticipated, those of you. Sarah is part of that great cloud of witnesses. And she reminds us that there's nothing too hard for the Lord. And that's why we can trust him as we run this race of faith. Nothing is too hard for the Lord. As Sarah and the others cheer us on, they always have this first truth in common, because that's why they're in this great cloud of witnesses. That's why they're all heroes of faith. You and I need to trust God completely. You and I need to trust God completely. I know that's not easy sometimes. Believe me, I know. As the song sang before prayer, sometimes we go through deep waters and we need to trust him to part the waters. Sometimes we're before mountains that are obstacles and we need him to move the mountains. Sometimes it's very difficult, but the Lord is our shepherd. And even in the presence of my enemies, he makes a place for me, for you. Even when we are walking through the darkest valley and fear that bad things are going to happen, that he's not even with us, we can walk through the darkest valley and fear no evil, because he is with us. His rod and his staff, they comfort us. Are you trusting God completely? Or are you looking at the waters and the mountains? Lift your eyes higher than the waters. Lift your eyes higher than the mountains. Trust God completely. And then when it doesn't make sense, keep trusting. You know, that's why it's called faith. Every time I get on an airplane, I mentioned in the first message, we have faith. I mean, how can this thing that weighs tons take us from Boston to Dallas or wherever? Trust God even more when it doesn't make sense. God came to a 100-year-old man and a 90-year-old woman and said, you're going to have a child. That doesn't make sense. God came to the Virgin Mary and said, you're going to have a child. That doesn't make sense. God came to many people we'll hear from in the future, Moses, and said, you're going to lead 2 million people from slavery to freedom. Or Joshua, you're going to cross the Red Sea. You're going to go into the promised land, and you're going to, without any military training, you're going to see walls fall down. Widows that receive their dead sons back. People who didn't have the end as well as some of the others. People who were torn apart and martyred, and yet the world wasn't worthy of them because of their faith. You need to trust God even more when it doesn't make sense. A lot of times in my experience as a pastor these past decades, I've seen people run from God when life gets tough. No, you need to run to God. You need to run to Him. Because when it doesn't make sense, you need Him even more. And then don't try and help God out. Don't try and help God out. Abraham and Sarah tried to help God out. Abraham, if he had, you know, the courage, he might have told you about the times he lied to two different kings about his wife, trying to help God out. Sarah tried to help God out by having her Egyptian slave give birth to the son. And that, the whole conflict that we have today in the Middle East is because of her trying to help God out between people. Two different sons of Abraham, the Ishmaelites, the Arab people, and the sons of Israel, Isaac and Jacob. Don't try and help God out. When you try and help God out, things will often get worse. Don't try. God doesn't need your help. Abraham said that last week. God doesn't need your help. God wants you to just listen to Him, to be still, and know who is God. Don't try and help God out. And finally, rejoice in His gift of grace. Abraham and Sarah, imagine, 100 years old, 90 years old, a baby boy. And yet, this boy is called the son of promise. And I'm sure that despite the laughter, and that's why they named him Laughter, Isaac, Laughter, they rejoiced in the gift of God's grace. You know, when God comes to you in the time when it doesn't make sense, when you don't have all the answers, and when He applies His grace to your life, you will be filled with joy. And you will rejoice in ways that you weren't even able to imagine before. Next week, Abraham will be back. But along with him, and how all three of them are going to do this, we're trying to figure out. But next week, Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob will all be here to tell you the story of how God's promise continues, and by His grace, as they, all three of them, Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob, trusted God completely. Where are you this morning, my friends? I think faith is sometimes like flying a kite. Did anybody ever fly a kite in their younger years? Yeah, I flew a kite. My younger years. You know, imagine a kite that's so high you can't see it anymore. It's in the clouds. How do you know it's there? How do you know it's there? You can feel that kite tugging on the string, right? You can't, if it's way up in the clouds, just imagine with me, it's way up in the clouds. You can't see it, but you know it's there because you can feel its tug. You can feel its tug. Maybe someone here right now, maybe someone on the Facebook or listening on the radio. Right now, you can't see Him, but you can feel God's tug on your heart. You can feel God's tug on your life. That's faith. That sensation you might have at this moment is God tugging at you, saying, I want you in the race of life of faith. I want you looking to Jesus, the pioneer. That means he's the one who finished the race first. The perfecter. Really, it means he's the one who completed it first. I want you to be my child. I want you to run the race of faith. You see, some people think that being a Christian is someone who goes to church every week. Or someone who keeps 7 out of 10 commandments. Or gives 25% of their income to charity. No, being a Christian is someone who's felt the tug and says, yes, Lord, I will follow you. I believe you died for my sins. I believe you rose from the grave. And I might not understand everything, but I feel that tug. And I want to follow you. I want to be in that race. I want to run the race and be your son, be your daughter, be your child. Is that where you are this morning? Let's pray. Father God, thank you that we are surrounded by such a great cloud of witnesses. Thank you for the testimony of Sarah, who by faith trusted you enough to do her part in fulfilling the promise you made to Abraham, even when it didn't make sense. And Father, we're like her too. We're not perfect. We make mistakes. We try and do things our way too many times. We try and help you out. But Father, all of these men and women of faith, fragile, fallen, trusted you completely. And Father, help us to not look back on the mistakes of the past, but look forward to Jesus, who himself is standing at that finish line with the roar of this great cloud of witnesses cheering us on, saying, come to me, come to me, and I will forgive you. I will replace the darkness in your soul with the light of life. I will redeem you. I will give your life meaning and joy. Not just in eternity, but right now. And Father, if there's anyone here this morning who has not accepted that gift of faith, who has not entered that race, Father, tug at their hearts until they would say, yes, Lord. And Father, whether they talk to me or one of our other ministers, pastors after the service, or talk to a friend, or talk to, Lord, just we pray that you would bring someone who's listening to Sarah's voice and my voice this morning into that great race of faith. Because without being in that race, it's hopeless. But in you, there's great hope and joy. And we thank you in Jesus' name. Amen.